It's Thursday, the 3rd of March, 2016. Happy birthday to no one. Welcome to the Rep Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Big Al's Big Bed. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to interact live with the show, if you are watching it live, follow me on Twitter and tweet at me at redrock_bball. If you want to be a sponsor of the podcast like Big Al's Big Bed, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and that's how you become a sponsor. It is very straightforward. Or if you want to be a sponsor like Moneyball and sponsor the podcast for every episode of the season, you know how to do that as well. So Moneyball is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. So I do encourage, if you live in Australia or New Zealand, check out Moneyball. It's a lot of fun. You can win some money. You can do some DFS stuff along with your season-long leagues. We all know how exciting DFS can be. And us in Australia have heard about it for so many years. And finally, it is on our shores. And Moneyball is the place to go. We've got a lot to talk about from Wednesday. 11 games. We've got only a 4-game Thursday. So we're going to do a DFS preview for that, as per usual.
Let's get to it.
I sure will, Michael Bolton. On Wednesday on Instagram, we were looking for Gorgie Jang, how many combined points and rebounds he would get. And of course, you can find me on Instagram at redrock_bball. The total that Gorgie Jang had with his points, rebounds, and blocks was 14. No one got that one right. So the prize of a shout-out, jackpots, to a double shout-out tomorrow. On Facebook, we were looking at D'Angelo Russell, combined points and assists. The total there was 30, and Xuan Lin gets that one correct. So congratulations to Xuan. I think that's the second time that he's got one right, and it's probably the second time that I've butchered his name, so I do apologize for that. On Thursday, on Instagram, again, redrock_bball, we're looking at Justice Winslow, combined rebounds and steals, and on Facebook, we're looking for Steph Curry. How many combined points and assists will Steph have? On Facebook, you can find me at facebook.com/redrockbasketball. Josh and Justin with some awesome conversations on the Facebook page today involving their mates as well, debating the Thunder and Clippers game, and that's great. I want the page to become a hub for discussion, fantasy and NBA stuff, and those two guys are really getting into it in a pretty serious way, so I do really enjoy what those guys are bringing over there. All right, we're going to look at the monstrous line of the night to kick things off. And it does go to James Harden of the Houston Rockets. Harden played 40 minutes in a must-win game for the Rockets against the Pelicans. He scored 39 points. He had 12 boards, 7 assists, 4 steals, a block, and a 3. He went 11 of 24 from the field. He went 16 of 18 from the free throw line. Yes, he had 8 turnovers. Yes, he was 1 of 9 from 3. But otherwise, James Harden had a very, very good night. And for all the talk about how bad he's been this season, his defense and chemistry issues and getting Dwight traded and all that sort of bullshit, fantasy-wise, he's a top three player. He has been awesome this year. He's averaging more points than last year. He is averaging more threes than last year, more rebounds than last year, same assists, and slightly less steals, slightly less blocks. But otherwise, his numbers are basically the same as last year when he was an awesome option, and he's an awesome option again. Really just putting in fantastic work. Over his last 2 weeks, he's averaging almost 35 points a game, 7 rebounds and 6.2 assists and 2.5 steals. In fact, in the last month, Harden is averaging 2.5 steals. That is a lot of steals across an 11-game sample size. So it's not a tiny sample size. It's not huge, but over a month, 2.5 steals out of James Harden, I reckon you're pretty impressed with those sort of numbers. He has been absolutely awesome. The waiver wire line of the night, DJ Augustine of the Oklahoma City. No, he's not. Denver Nuggets. Wow, that was a mistake. I'm back in early February. DJ Augustine of the Denver Nuggets. He played 23 minutes off the bench and got red hot. He had 26 points. He was 7 of 11 from the field. Had 3 triples, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. And he had something like 22 points in the final quarter. Emmanuel Mudiay still started and played 34 minutes. Augustine in the game prior, the game prior, had taken a lot of minutes off Mudiay. That didn't happen here, but Augustine was still really productive, and he's been productive in most of the games since arriving in Denver. I added him today in a 10-team league, just as a streamer, just to see what happens, because I would like to get a point guard in there. And I want to see what's going on with his situation. And if he can play 25, 27 minutes a night. And the other encouraging thing is he played down the stretch next to Moutier as well. And yeah, he's going to get playing time. And Moutier's going to have nights where he stinks. And that's going to allow Augustine to play more point as well. He's not going to be a 7 of a 11 shooter. He's not going to be that accurate. That's a given. But his ownership should be higher than 6%, which is where it currently lays. It needs to be higher than that. In 12-team leagues, you should definitely be having a look at Augustine and just seeing what plays out. If you own Shelvin Mack, I'm dropping Mack and adding Augustine. No worries. If for some reason you're still holding Brandon Jennings, he can get pissed off, and I'm definitely adding DJ Augustine. If you're listening along live, tweet at me, throw me a name if you want to see, should I drop this guy for DJ Augustine, and I'll go through it. But he is a guy that I think that is not going to be a guaranteed awesome player down the stretch, but I'm taking a chance on him, and I want to see what plays out with this team and with this rotation and with his role and with his production as we move forward. So he's a guy that I'm definitely interested in. I said I just added him myself, and I'll probably look at a few other leagues and make an ad. This was a league where I'm currently in third, and the gap between third and sixth is about 4 games, and it's that last week before playoffs, and I'm playing my brother, actually, who's in fifth and battling for that, you know, one of those playoff spots. So I need to see if I can get some production happening in these next couple of days, and Augustine's the guy that I went for. You know, he could be dropped in a day's time, but I did make that move, and let's hope it pans out for me and for anyone else that added DJ Augustine. The young gun of the night, you can see his jersey up there behind me, Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, played 40 minutes. He only had 14 points on 5 of 12 shooting. That's not ideal, but 15 boards, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Hit all 4 of his free throws, and aside from the poor shooting and the points, I think seeing a line from Karl Anthony Towns of 15 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks is going to be very much commonplace for this guy moving forward. If you had 20 points instead of 14 points and he went 20 and 15 with 5 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, I'd just go, yeah, that's Karl Anthony Towns. And I reckon by the time we get to the 2017 season, that's what we're going to be saying. Because the guy can pass. He is a very, very good passer. And once he gets some better players around him, especially better players, not that he doesn't have good players, there's some guys there who are obviously young and working, but I think that he's going to be able to average at least 3.5 to 4 assists a game as a player. You know, I've got a ton of respect for Karl Anthony Towns' game. I love what he's able to do. I love what he's able to do fantasy-wise as well, and I think that he is going to be able to put up some pretty incredible numbers as we move forward throughout his career. The dud of the night was of the Detroit Pistons. It's always hard when you're playing into the Pistons. When you're playing against the Spurs and you're a wing player, and that's exactly what happened to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He played 36 minutes, had to match up against Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green. He went 1 of 10 from the field. That is not good. 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Not his greatest performance. He's still a 12-team league guy. He's obviously that. He's a top 100 guy in the year. He has cooled off, though, in the last month, and some of that is coming back from injury, but he's outside the top 190. I'm not dropping him yet, but if you're in a really tight playoff race, say in a 10-team league, I reckon you might want to move on and just maximize games over this last week before playoffs, last 2 weeks, whatever it is in your league. Maximize some games. I don't think you're going to be losing out on an awesome option. So just keep that in mind. The other thing that's cratered a bit also recently for him is his free throws. He was never a good free throw shooter until this year, and he's at 82%, but in the last month, he's down to 75%, and that's taking a bit off his value as well. And he needs to get that threes back up. Last year, he was at 1.9. This month, he's at 1.1. That's a big drop-off. The season, 1.5. So just a little bit of a drop-off from Kentavious so far in this last month, coming back from the injury. And that's, I can sort of understand that, coming back from a groin problem like that. Maybe it takes him a little bit of time to get into it. So to me, in a 10-team league, he's a borderline guy. 12-team league, yeah, sure, I'm still holding on and hoping that it turns around. But the thing is, at the moment, that it's not that his shooting's massively down. In the last month, he's at 40%. For the year, he's 42%. That's not a big drop-off. It's the 7% from the free throw line that's an issue, and it's the fact that his threes have dropped down significantly as well, and he's shooting 27% from threes only, and he was a 35% guy from three-point land last season. Let's take a look at the perfect DFS lineup from Wednesday. That's the wrong one. Jeez, I do that too often. Point guard, my boy, Norris Cole, put up 40.8. It's very hard to rely upon him in a cash game. In a tournament, you can always have a look at and see how it goes, but I'm not a massive Norris Cole fan. If you listen to this podcast at all, you would know that. DJ Augustine with 37.9. Brad Beal at 37.6. That's an explosion for Beal. and we'll talk about him and the Wizards a bit later. Jim Harden with 65.9, loved his matchup, and he came through. At small forward, Mario Hezonja, no cash game reliability there, but he had 34 points as Skiles gave him some extra run instead of giving it to Devin Marble, who played in the last one. Kevin Durant, 54.7. Aaron Gordon, 35.5. Great if he's not in foul trouble. Jared Sullinger, 34.7. And DeAndre Jordan, 48.6. And he was key in the Clippers' victory over the Thunder. That total would have given you 389.7. So I think you would have seen across DFS tournaments that the cash line would have been a little bit lower today. And you wouldn't have had to get those crazy 300, 320 scores that you're having to get recently to cash. The score would have been a little bit lower in most tournaments. Not in all of them, but in most tournaments. All right, it is time now for a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to be back to talk about the 11 games that occurred in the NBA on Wednesday. All right, we're back. The first game we're going to take a look at, it does involve my team, which is the Chicago Bulls and the Orlando Magic. The Bulls are brutally bad at the moment. I almost don't want them to make the playoffs, get a lottery pick, and hopefully things work out well, because it's just they are struggling. Yes, injuries have been a massive part, and we're hopefully getting Jimmy Butler back across the weekend, but not a good look to get smashed by the Magic. Derrick Rose, only 25 minutes. The minutes restriction still in place for him. 16-4-6 with one steal. Really efficient, and he's been quite good since Butler's been out. So that's it's good for him, and it's good for his career, obviously. But it's not working all that well for the Bulls at the moment. Pau Gasol only played 28 minutes, 12-5 with a couple of blocks. And Bob Portis, as predicted, he didn't start. Cameron Bairstow got the start, but Portis did start the second half. He only played 26 minutes. He went 9-6-5 on 4-11 shooting. And this goes back to what I was talking about yesterday with it's Bobby Portis's time. He's going to be unleashed. I just don't think he is. I think he'll probably play more than 26 minutes until Taj Gibson comes back, but apparently Gibson is just day-to-day and won't miss much more time. So that really limits Portis's effectiveness in standard leagues. But I don't think Portis is going to play 35 minutes in the next game. He might play 29. He might play 28. He's just not ready for big, big minutes. And I'm fine with adding him, and you should have added him, and you play him. But when Gibson comes back, he's going to be the first one that gets cut. Doug McDermott played 33 minutes. He had 11 points. He did nothing else as per usual, 5 of 15 from the field. He is really the epitome of a points streamer. Mike Dunleavy, 21 minutes, 8-6 with two triples. He's a 14-team league guy. And Etuan Moore, his value is expiring real quickly with Jimmy Butler back, 9-3-3 in 28 minutes for him. And Tony Snell had 3 points in his 19 minutes. What an ugly box score that is for the Bulls. Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, and Doug McDermott, the only players in double digits. And just the names on the plate. Justin Holiday, Cameron Bairstow, Cristiano Felizio, Aaron Brooks, who got ejected after 17 minutes. The Bulls are missing a stack of quality players. For the Magic, we saw glimpses of what Mario Hezonja can bring. He played 37 minutes. He went 21-5. He hit 3 triples, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. That's great. If the Magic don't retain Evan Fournier over the offseason, Hezonja will be the starter, you would guess, but it is Scott Skiles, and he could be unleashed. At this stage, Skiles hates him a lot of the time, hates what he does, and he's going to get very, very quick hooks. And that's okay, that's fine. That's part of learning as a rookie. I wish that he would play more consistently as a role, but Fournier is clearly the better player than Hezonja at the moment. So yeah, this is great, and I am a little bit worried about Fournier's wrist, to be honest. Everything that I've seen come out about it saying it's just not getting better. It's not helping. Nothing's helping. But there's no long-term issue. It's just not getting better. And do you add Hezonja for the short term? Sure. If you're desperate and need games played, do you drop Fournier? I'm probably a little bit hesitant to do that, but I can understand why you would do it. Hezonja's value is going to be linked completely to Fournier's availability. But if Fournier misses another 2 to 3 games, Hezonja could provide. He could also play 16 minutes while Devin Marble gets 25 minutes and CJ Watson plays 30 minutes as Skiles completely screws over not only fantasy players, but his own team as well. Let's hope that's not a reality. Lord Alfred Payton, 33 minutes, 9-4-12, a triple one. This is more like it for him. Brandon Jennings, that experiment's done. Hopefully 12 minutes for him, 2 points. CJ Watson, 17 minutes with 0 points. Everything about Payton, nothing changes from the start of the season. Can you absorb his percentages? If yes, add him. If no, probably leave him alone, because he can be quite harmful in those areas. Can you afford a guy who's not going to score much? Do you really value his rebounding, assists, and steals? Then add him. That's the equation. hasn't changed since the start of the season. It's maybe just the output is lowered marginally. But Brandon Jennings shouldn't be taking minutes off him, and Watson shouldn't be either. They'll do it occasionally, much like Ersan Ilyasova will play 30 minutes once in a blue moon. He went back to 12 in this one. But I've got faith in Lord Alpha at the moment. Vic Oladipo played 36 minutes after a stinker yesterday, 17-7 with a steal and a block. And Nick Vucevic finally back over 30 minutes as well. 33 minutes for Vuce, 24-7-4, while Aaron Gordon went 13-15 with a triple and 3 assists. Aaron Gordon's owned in less leagues than Alfred Payton. It has to scream to inactivity. That's the only reason for that. Ersan Ilyasova had 8-7 in his 12 minutes, and Devin Marble got the 6 minutes and put up a 6 trillion, so congratulations to Devin. The Charlotte Hornets and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Hornets with one of the greatest back-to-back sets you could imagine, the Suns, and then the Sixers. Cody Zeller played 28 minutes. He went 15-6 with 2 assists and 4 blocks. That is awesome. I really like Cody Zeller. I'm the only person who's probably brave enough to say that out loud, but I do really like him. I don't think you can own him in 12-team leagues. He's a must-own for a 14-team league, and in some 12s, sure, you can definitely look to own him. And this is a great performance, but most of the games won't be this good. Al Jefferson only played 19 minutes and went 6-6 with a steal and a block. There is no place for Al Jefferson in my mind in a 12-team league. He is a back-end 14-team league guy for me. He's just not going to take this job off Zeller. I will be stunned if he becomes the starter and plays 27 minutes while Zeller languishes for 18 minutes. Stunned. Marvin Williams, 30 minutes, 14-9, 2 triples and 2 blocks. His breakout season from absolutely nowhere continues. Kemba Walker had 30 points. 7 boards, 2 triples and 2 steals. Another big night for Kemba, while Nick Batum went 12-4-7 with a couple of steals as well. So big games from the big players on the Hornets. Jeremy Lin chimed in with 14 in 20 minutes. That doesn't do it for me. And Courtney Lee, he's just not going to do it for me ever. 29 minutes, 9 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a 3. So look at it and go, you know what, that's not bad. That's okay. But it's more of a 14-team league sort of a line. In a 12-team league, there is nothing wowing you about what Courtney Lee is able to do. Another sign of the blowout, Jorge Gutierrez got into the game again. On the Sixers, Bob Cove, 32 minutes, 17-9, 4 triples, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. It is a very, very full line. I can't stress how much that I think that Covington should be owned in all 12-team leagues. I do apologize because I get lots of tweets, I get lots of emails, I get lots of Facebook messages, I get lots of Basketball Monster messages, I get forum posts, I get Reddit comments all over the place. I don't know who this was, I don't know where it was, but someone said to me, they're talking about Bob Cove for dynasty purposes. They said, I don't think that he is in Philadelphia's future plans. I couldn't disagree more. I think that he is definitely part of their future plan. Probably not as a 33-minute starter. I think that he is a six-man wing player on the next good Philadelphia team. I think they do like him. There's been obviously some issues this season, but I think that he is definitely in their future plans. Isaiah Cannon's not in their future plans. Nick Stauskas probably is in their future plans. Hollis Thompson's not in their future plans. Bob Cove is to me. So I didn't have him in the top 100 of my dynasty ranks because I think as they get better, his role it drops marginally, but he was just on the outside. He'd be a top 150 dynasty guy, absolutely no doubt in my mind. And I do think that he is a pretty decent piece of their future, and they've got him on a nice contract that it's not expensive for them. Nerlens Noel, 17-3-4 with 2 steals in 27 minutes. Foul trouble limited him. Still a pretty nice game when you get 17 points out of Noel. 3 rebounds is a little disappointing, but otherwise some good numbers. And Isaiah Cannon, who I mentioned earlier, he had 17 points on 5 of 15 shooting, added 4 triples and 2 steals, but he's just so sort of fluky that it's just not it's not reliable enough for most leagues. Ish Smith is back over 30 minutes, and he looks to have righted the ship. 12-5-8, a triple one. Couldn't keep the streak of 50% shooting games going. Also hit 33% from the line, so that's not ideal, but he's back to doing what he was doing before. And Jeremy Grant, probably a little bit of a disappointment in 30 minutes, 7-6, a triple and a block. Still got that block, still got some nice rebounds, still hit a 3. But when Jahlil Okafor returns, Grant's position in a 12-team league is done in my mind. TJ McConnell added 5 assists in his 16 minutes. He's a great stream guy. I want 4 assists. McConnell, I'm streaming him. Yes, he won't do much else, but if that's really all you need, you can't find 5 assists laying around, and he's one of the guys that will provide that. Hollis Thompson returned from his illness. He played 21 minutes and had 2 points with 2 triples. And, that's probably it. The Portland Trailblazers and the Boston Celtics. Mason Plumlee I was hoping for a big game from Mace, and it turned out to be a really nice performance. 9-7 with 3 assists, 1 steal and 2 blocks. Really efficient 4 or 5 shooting. And Myers Leonard, not quite able to replicate what he's done the last couple of games. 19 minutes, 5 points with 7 assists, sorry, with 7 rebounds and a block. It wasn't an ad. He was a watch guy, and he still remains a watch guy. Portland got really shut down by Boston. Dame Lillard only 20 points with 4 rebounds, 2 assists, added 2 blocks and 3 triples, while CJ McCollum had 17 points with a couple of blocks himself and 3 triples, but not their usual big performances. Alan Crabb chimed in with 10 points in 26 minutes and a couple of threes. He's not a 12-team league guy by any stretch to me. He's more of a 14-team league player. And Al-Farouq Aminu, I don't know. He struggles. 20 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists and a steal. In a 12-team league, I don't think that he's a must-own player. We saw Mo Harkless back in the rotation. He played 21 minutes, went 5-7, while Ed Davis, who'd been dominating recently, just 12 minutes, 3-6. Bit of an odd rotation from Terry Stotts. The game, they were out of it pretty quickly, and the Celtics had it under control. So I can understand, you know, changing things around again. We got Brian Roberts playing 8 minutes and Pat Connaughton playing 8 minutes. So you know that there was big stretches of this game where it was done. And maybe that contributes somewhat to Gerald Henderson only playing 50 minutes and Harkless getting some extra run and Davis being limited, and Aminu was dealing with an injury as well to his hand. So that might have limited some of his playing time. On the Celtics, they didn't need to play big minutes for most of their guys. Isaiah Thomas was under 30 minutes. He had 30 points, so 3 triples. Jared Sullinger went 15-11 and 3 with 2 blocks in 24 minutes. And Avery Bradley had 17 with 3 steals in his 30 minutes. Marcus Smart also, again, showing what he can do. 11 rebounds with 15 points, 3 assists and 2 steals. He is a really aggressive rebounder for a point guard. Again, his level to me, he's a 17-5-5 sort of guy. 2 steals, 2 threes. That is his absolute best case scenario potential. Maybe it's not best case scenario, but he is an aggressive rebounder. And he showed it again here. Amir Johnson started and was really limited by Brad Stevens, which is pretty much a common theme this season. 14 minutes, 6-6 with 2 blocks, which is nice in 14 minutes, but I wanted to get 24 minutes and do that, and do 12-12 with 2 blocks. Then it's more useful. As for now, he's nowhere near a 12-team league guy. Tyler Zeller played more minutes than Amir Johnson. Jonas Jerebko played more minutes than Amir Johnson. Jerebko had 2 blocks with 10 points and 6 boards. Zeller had 7-7 in his 24 minutes, but again, it was a blowout. Terry Rozier saw 6 minutes. RJ Hunter saw 4 minutes. Jordan Mickey saw 4 minutes. And Jay Crowder, not his best night, going 4 of 12. He had 12 points, 6 rebounds, and a couple of threes, but I think we can give him a pass, considering how well he's played this season. Utah and Toronto. Gordie Hayward, 26-3-6 with 3 triples. One of the more underrated players in the NBA, in my opinion. Rod Hood, he's dealing with a head injury. It's minor, so that's good news. Maybe he misses a game, maybe he doesn't. He only played 13 minutes, 3 points and 4 assists. Don't drop him. Let's just wait and see what happens, but it appears like he's not missing much time. Rudy Gobert really battled foul trouble in this one. Only 23 minutes, 10-8, no blocks, and that's a bit of a disappointing night, while Derek Favors had 15-7. Not the greatest night from Utah as a whole. Shelvin Mack, yeah, he had 17 in the last game. He had 2 in this game. He chimed with 4 assists and went 0 of 6 from the field. You can move on from Shelvin Mack in your standard formats. Hal Neto actually played 23 minutes and was decent. 10 points with 2 threes and 2 steals and 2 assists. More of a 16-team league guy. And we also saw Trey Burke back in the rotation. Now, Trey Burke is owned in 34% of leagues. That feels too high. He had 11 points in his 14 minutes. He is not going to be someone who's going to be bothering us all that often, I don't think, this season. The Raptors, Kyle Lowry, 32-4-5, 3 triples and 3 threes with a block. He's again one of those, and I'll probably do some research on this in the offseason, of guys who have breakout seasons when they're close to 30. He's one of them. How old is he? That's a good question. Let's bring that up. He is having a breakout season, and he is not young. Let's see. Kyle Lowry is 30. He was drafted in 2006. He's 30 years old. He's having a breakout season. Marvin Williams, the same sort of story. These guys are old, inverted commas, old, but they're having breakout seasons. It's very uncommon, and it's hard to project, but they're doing it, and Larry continues to do it. This Toronto team, I really want to see them do well in the playoffs. I want them to not only win a series, I want to see them in the Eastern Conference Finals. I want to see them give the Cavs a shake. DeRozan played 35 minutes, went 31-5. No other stats, but awesome percentages. 11 of 15, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. his season has been great as well. Jonas Valanciunas, just give this man 30 minutes. It irritates me a lot. But still, they're winning, so I can't complain too much. 10-8 with a block in 25 minutes for Valanciunas, and Terence Ross chimed in with 11 with 3 triples in his 27 minutes. Luis Scola is so washed up, it's not funny. 19 minutes for him. Pat really battling for that championship belt of doing the least with the most. 29 minutes for 4 points in 7 rebounds, and not much else happening. Corey Joseph struggled in 26 minutes. He's more of a 14-team league guy. And just a quick thing, Damari Carroll is still owned in 71% of leagues. Unless 71% of leagues have got an IR spot, I don't know why he's owned in so many leagues. I just don't get the... And if you heard, you should listen to the Zach Lowe and Amin Al-Hassan podcast from the end of last week, maybe. They were talking about Carroll. They are very skeptical of him being able to come back in the regular season or, you know, or soon. They think that they're talking about maybe not even having him for the playoffs or for chunks of the playoffs. There is no... If you don't have an IR spot, there is no point holding Damari Carroll. Even when he comes back, they're not going to go, all right, Damari, 33 minutes, off you go. And before his injuries, he wasn't playing as he was in Atlanta anyway. He's a weird guy to be stashing. I can't get behind it. We're not going to see him for a couple more weeks, at least. I can't do it. I wonder if any of you guys are stashing Damari Carroll. Let me know. Washington at Minnesota. Big win for the Wizards on the road. Brad Beal was great. 26 points with 3 triples. Added 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 steals. Of course, he has to be owned, but he's going to be up and down. We know that. Marcin Gortat, I know, great friend of the podcast, Vivek, is very much anti-Randy Whitman, and I can understand that, and very much anti, why does Marcin Gortat not play? I can't understand why Gortat doesn't play. It makes no sense to me why he's limited all the time. I don't think it's because of his tank. I'm sure his endurance is fine. All I want is an extra 4 or 5 minutes, or at least for him to play in the last quarter. It doesn't make sense. Gortat was really, really awesome around the All-Star break and post-All-Star break, and it's cooled off a bit now, mainly because he's getting lopped 4 or 5 minutes off his playing time. I can't get behind it. I can't really understand everything that's happening. So any Wizards fans who are watching the games more in-depth than what I am, why is Gortat not playing minutes? It's not for his defense, I'm sure. I'd love to know. Markieff Morris got a start, 24 minutes. Not a great night, 7-6 with a triple and 2 assists. Still is a hold for me. And Otto Porter struggled. 18 minutes for Porter, had 5 points with a steal and a 3, while Alan Anderson got hot for 18 points with 4 triples in 21 minutes. I am very lukewarm on Otto Porter. He was a guy who I was excited about heading into this season and then got scared off a little bit by talking to some people and doing some more research on him. And he started off the season decently, but he is really struggling. The hip problems concern me for dynasty formats. I don't know. He's just average. He just feels average. And that's not a great thing. It can be all right. It's not a terrible thing, but it's not great. He shouldn't play 18 minutes though when Garrett Temple's playing 28. I'll grant you that. That is dumb. Temple, he's just terrible. 2 points for him in 28 minutes. And yes, he can be a decent defender, but so can Porter. And I think Porter could probably handle defense a little bit more than Garrett Temple can. Then Nay got the run over Gortat down the stretch, 8-5 in his 24 minutes. And Vivek's like, he's talking back and forth on Twitter regarding why is Nene in there over Gortat. I love Nene. Nene's a really good player. He's not as good as Gortat, but he is a really good player still in his limited minutes. He can do quite a few things, and he's going to be an asset for this team. He will win, if the Wizards get into the playoffs, which they probably won't, he will win them one game in the playoffs, Nene. I'm positive. He is good for one game where it's like, what is happening? Why is Nene destroying? We saw him do it. Remember that series against the Bulls a couple of years ago? He destroyed Joakim Noah. Kicked his ass. And it's not like that was a healthy and spry Nene then either. Nene's been decrepit for about 5 years. He will, if they get to the playoffs, he will win them a game. It might not be enough to win a series or anything like that, but he will win them a game. Jared Dudley, 22 minutes, 5-3-2. He's 14-16 team league guy now, I reckon. The Timberwolves, Zach LaVine, 3 starts in a row. It's like someone went to Sam Mitchell and said, Sam, you know what? Probably doesn't make sense to rotate your starters every second game. We're not in grade 6 and everyone's playing for a participation medal. Probably don't need to do it. Tayshaun doesn't need to sit in there. I hope that's what went down. Or this is, is Mitchell becoming self-aware? Is he realizing it's a bad thing? Did he read something? I don't know. It took him 4 months to realize that Gorgui Dieng could play. but maybe he realised that alternating starters every second game didn't make a lot of sense. Anyway, Prince played 5 minutes off the bench, and you know what? If he plays 5 minutes, whatever. That's fine. It doesn't make any sense. When Nemanja Bjelica comes back, that those minutes should go to him. But Prince, that's fine. Levine, 39 minutes, 21-3-2 with two triples. He obviously has to be owned. He's only owned in 61% of leagues. Get on that, you other 39% of owners. Do something about it. Ricky Rubio, 22 points for Rubio. You don't expect that out of him very often, and only three assists, but he chimed in with three steals, two triples, and six boards. One of the most underrated players in the NBA, in my opinion. His numbers for this team when he plays and doesn't play are ridiculous. He is such a key component, and there's plenty of people who want to trade him out of Minnesota and get another point guard and all that. They don't need to. He is awesome. Andy Wiggins, 17 points, and his usual dearth of stats in other categories. Two rebounds, one assist, and one steal. But at least he got his percentages up, so that's nice. And Gorgui Dieng, only the 30 minutes, 6-8-5 with a steal. He'd been dealing with a personal issue. He came back and played this one. But it was important for Sam Mitchell to get recently signed Greg Smith 10 minutes. Lucky we had Greg Smith playing 10 minutes. No idea why that he played his 10 minutes on his 10-day contract. Whatever. That's right. You know what? No, I take that back, Sam Mitchell. See what he's got. I think we've seen Greg Smith a fair bit. He used to play for the Rockets. He was decent at times. Let's see what he's got. That's fine. And Jeng still got 30 minutes. So I do apologize for that, Sam Mitchell. I'll take that back. Tyus Jones played 10 minutes. Love seeing him just locked in as the backup point guard. He's not going to produce much this year. Love that I've got him in a 30-team Dynasty League. And actually, I think we should start a Red Rock 30-team Dynasty League next season. I'm going to look into that. It's going to be one of the series of Red Rock Leagues that we have running next season. I think I'm going to introduce a 30-team one. Yeah, that'll be good. Anyway, that was a spur-of-the-moment thought. Let's move on to the next game. The New Orleans Pelicans and the Houston Rockets. My boy, Norris Cole. 21 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 triples, 9 of 16 shooting. Yeah, Eric Gordon coming back, I thought, wow, that's got to hurt his value. Nah, apparently not. Norris Cole's still bad. He's still not great. He was good here. Absolutely no denying that he was good, but it's not like his numbers have been awesome. The last 2 weeks, he's at 12.5 points, 5.5 assists. And you know what? For the 5.5 assists, he's worth owning. I think you should own Norris Cole in 12-team leagues. And that's big coming from me. But the last 2 weeks, I've seen him shoot 47% from the field. This season as a whole, he's shooting 41. Last year, he shot 41. The year before, he shot 41. The year before, he shot 42. The year before, he shot 39. He's not a 47% shooter. That will come down. His confidence will come down. His playing time will come down. And then we'll reassess and go, in Dennis Green style, he is who we thought he was. But for now, riding a little hot streak, go with it. Eric Gordon, 14-3-3 with 4 triples. And Drew Holiday had 13-3-7. While Anthony Davis struggled, only 5 of 13. But 12 points, 8 rebounds, and the 2 steals and 1 block. Well, we're okay, but definitely nothing spectacular. The year is 2016. The month is March. Kendrick Perkins started an NBA game and played 22 minutes. He had 0 points on one shot. At least he only took one shot. He had 8 rebounds and 3 steals. Is Kendrick Perkins fantasy valuable? The answer is no. I don't understand why he's playing 22 minutes. Elvin Gentry has a real issue with Alexei Ajinsa. I like Alexei Ajinsa. I don't like Kendrick Perkins. Neither of them are going to have much fantasy value, but I just thought I'd give a comment to see that Kendrick is actually playing. 29 minutes for Dante Cunningham, once for 16 points with 4 triples. That is not something that's all that common for him. And Alonzo G, 12 minutes for 0 points. He is just a real offensive black hole. Dwight Howard, 16-9 for the Rockets, 32 minutes, 2 steals and 3 blocks. And I'll say it again, I've said it a million times. You already know what the free throws are, so that doesn't factor into it. He has been really, really good. He has been super efficient since getting that back problem sorted, putting up big numbers, and not quite looking like prime Dwight, but not looking like washed-up hack Dwight. Don't worry about the free throws. Patrick Beverley, 15-9, 2 triples, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 assists. He played 35 minutes with Ty Lawson out of town. I'll rephrase that, because Lawson was playing 5 minutes a game anyway. And look, maybe Beverley gets those 5 minutes and he goes from 28 to 33 on a regular basis, but Lawson's absence isn't going to have a massive impact on Pat Bev. He is a fine guy to add in a 12-team league, but it's not for everyone. Trevor Reza, 6 points only on 3 of 10 shooting, but 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and 1 block is very, very nice. Clint Capella returned from his sprained foot. He played 16 minutes and went 4 and 5 with a couple of blocks. Nice production. Josh Smith moved to the bench because my boy Donatas Montiunas is back starting. 22 minutes for Montiunas, 7 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Now he needs 27, 28, 30 minutes to be fantasy relevant. But I said yesterday, I'm watching. I just want to see how this pans out. For the last 2 years, I've been very big on he is the best power forward on this team. Terrence Jones is crap, but Terrence Jones produces for fantasy even when he gets on the court. Well, finally, the Rockets have figured out that Jones is not good. He did not play at all. And I don't imagine with Michael Beasley joining the team that Jones is going to have an easier path to minutes. Going to be real interesting to see what Beasley joining this team does. Andrew Goudlock also signed with the team. He's not going to have much of an impact. He's going to take that sort of Marcus Thornton role. But Beasley's the intriguing one. I don't see him carving out a role for big enough for fantasy leagues to pay attention to. I still think that Montiunas, Capella, and Smith will play the majority of the minutes at the four. Beasley will play some backup three and some backup four, but not really a huge amount. Just interesting to see Beasley back in the NBA after averaging, I think, 31 points in China, but obviously China is it's a much different league to playing in the NBA. The Sacramento Kings and the Memphis Grizzlies. DeMarcus Cousins, 18 and 16, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks, and brutal percentages. His percentages have had such a massive dip this season that it's not something you really would have accounted for when drafting, because he took a big step forward last season with his shooting. He's gone down from 47% from the field down to 45. He's gone from 78 from the line to 72. Now, that might not seem like much, but it's going from being a positive percentage guy to being a negative percentage guy. And with the volume that he takes, he can be quite detrimental. If you add up his Z scores from his field goals and free throws last year, they're at 0.34. This year, they're at negative 1.8. It's a big drop. It's a minus 2 standard score swing. It's big. It's a big difference. He's still having a pretty good season. 27 and 11, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks, 1.2 triples. He is a triple one player, and I don't imagine that changes for Boogie anytime soon. Willie Cauley-Stein played 20 minutes, 8 and 4 with a steal. Hit all 4 of his shots, but he's just not going to get enough playing time, especially when Quincy Acey is thieving 26 minutes. 11 and 3 for Acey with a steal. Yeah, 16-team league, sure. I think that Acey's getting that. I know that Acey's getting this extra run because Gay is out. Omri Caspi started but only got 26 minutes, so that run of him getting 34 minutes to start the season when Gay missed time, George Karl's changed his mind on that. 12 and 7 for Caspi here. Darren Collison started the second half over Ben McLemore at shooting guard and had 17 points. Not a lot else. Did hit 4 triples, but he's a 12-team league guy for me. And Marco Bellinelli also chimed in with 16 points in his 25 minutes and 4 assists. But here we're talking real deep leagues for him. Rajon Rondo, only the 6 points on 3 of 10 shooting, but did add 8 rebounds, had 17 assists, and no steals, no blocks, and no threes. Not a great night. Missed both of his free throws, but the 17 assists and 8 rebounds is pretty impressive. But that's a 2-category performance with big negatives in other areas, and that's sort of the way you got to look at it. It could be helpful, it could be harmful as well. The Grizzlies, Mike Conley had his best game in a while, 24, 2 and 5, 3 triples, 3 steals and a block on ridiculous 9 of 12 shooting. Zach Randolph, 19 and 8 in 35 minutes. He's going to continue to get pretty big run for the remainder of this season. And Chris Anderson, up from 22 minutes last game, played 27 here, 10 and 6 with 2 steals and a block. If you're in a 16-team league, Birdman should be owned, I think. Now, I don't think we're going to be seeing Brandon Wright back in a rush. Lance Stephenson, only the 16 minutes here, 7, 3 and 3. Let's go back to 16s for him. And PJ Harrison played 23, going 6, 3, and 2. That's down from the 30 he played the game before. Matt Barnes stunk 2, 2, and 3 in 27 minutes, but I still believe in holding on to him. And Mario Chalmers had a good game, 15 points with 3 steals, but it's really hard to rely upon him in a 12-team league setting. He is more of a streaming option. Jermichael Green feels like he's going to put in one of these performances every 2 weeks or so. He played 21 minutes and had 15 points with 3 steals on 5 of 7 shooting. Don't believe it too much. Just look at him more in your deeper leagues. But he's going to have that solid 20-minute role moving forward on this team. And it's going to be enough. On some nights, he puts up big performances. But on other nights, he's not going to do a huge amount. What sort of depth of league should you be looking at for Jermichael Green? I don't know. It's not an easy one. I don't think to look at. Not a 12-team league. A 14-team league, perhaps. His average, his ranking over the last month is 147. So that makes him a borderline 14-team league guy. He's 123rd over the last 2 weeks. Then you look at him there. So he's a definite 16-team leaguer, and he's a borderline 14-team leaguer. The Indiana Pacers and the Milwaukee Bucks. Yan Mihinmi, foul trouble is really bothering him at the moment, but still, 10-8, 1 steal, 3 blocks, can't stress enough. Watch the free throws, but own him. Miles Turner, 12-5 with a couple of blocks and a 3. Love seeing that. And also love seeing him hit all 3 of his free throws, which has been a bother for him in the NBA. With Mihinmi slightly limited, Jordan Hill got off the bench for 23 minutes and went 19-7. He'll do that occasionally. Predicting when it happens is the tough part. And Monte Ellis, 10-4-6 in his 36 minutes. Now, Paul George efficiency is struggling. 15-9-5 with 4 triples. So counting stats, not bad. A block, not bad. But 5-15 from the field. 1-4 from the free throw line. Paul George's shooting is taking a significant dip recently. He's outside the top 30 over the last 2 weeks. In the last 3 months, he's a 39% shooter. He's never been an awesome shooter, but he's a punt field goal percentage guy, basically, this season. 18 attempts at 41%. It's a pretty big hole. You can maybe dig out of it, but I don't know. His efficiency has definitely tumbled as the season's worn on. George Hill, 10-3-3. That's basically who he is. You know, if you're in an 8-team league or a 10-team league, I'm not sure that he's a must. In an 8-team league, he's not a must-own player. In a 10-team league, he probably is. But maybe you get more value from streaming. It depends on how your waiver wire looks. On the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 41 minutes, 22-6-3, a steal and a block. He got the better of Paul George here. And Jabari Parker, another 37 minutes for 18 points with 2 steals. A big night for him. Chris Middleton also continuing, 23-4-4, 2 steals and 2 threes. That trio, Antetokounmpo, Parker, and Middleton, has been absolutely superb this season. Awesome. I can't believe how good all these guys play together. How well. Greg Monroe, 29 minutes, 16-7 with a steal. Again, the concern with him coming off the bench in a Jason Kidd system, it's going to limit him. You have to own him, but it's a brutal hit to take with him switching to the bench. Miles Plumlee played 19 minutes and went 6-6. He hit all 3 of his shots. Didn't have a block, which has sort of been his calling card recently, but he's a deeper league block stream source guy. Michael Carter-Williams sat out. So OJ Mayo, after barely struggling to see the court over the last couple of games, played 34 minutes and was still terrible. 3 points with 6 rebounds and 2 assists, a steal and a 3. He's not going to play 34 minutes many more times, especially when Carter Williams returns. You leave him for your 16-team leagues. Jared Bayless got another 32. He went 11-3-5. I'm adding him in 14s. And in 12-team leagues, I don't hate the ad and seeing where it happens, because he'll score a bit, he'll get some threes, he'll get you some assists, and it could work out for you. It might not, but it's almost worth a look. Example, if you've got Shelvin Mack, I'll give him the ass, and I'd add Bayless and see how it plays out. And let's just see what happens with it moving forward, because I do think that he's going to have a role 29 to 30 minutes, even when Carter Williams returns. Obviously, remains to be seen. The Detroit Pistons and the San Antonio Spurs. I made a comment on yesterday's podcast in DFS talk saying I want nothing to do with Andre Drummond in DFS against the Spurs because they'll hack him and he'll get limited. Aaron Baines becomes a sneaky option. Well, Baines played 26 minutes. He had 12-6 with an assist. Really good shooting. When he plays, he produces. That is what he does. He's done it throughout his career with the Spurs. He's done it this season. The trick is figuring out when that game is going to come. And against the Spurs, you know the Spurs are going to hack. Now, Drummond only played 27 minutes, had 9 points with 14 rebounds, a steal and a block. So it's not a terrible night from him, but he went 1-8 from the line. Marcus Morris, 16-4-2 with 2 triples. A nice night, inefficient but nice. And Toby Harris went 16-6-4 in 38 minutes. We saw Reggie Jackson go 11-3-3 in 31. And Reggie Bullock also got 21 minutes. He had 7 points and hit both of his field goal attempts. On the Spurs, Kawhi, 27-6-5, 2 steals and a 3. Just ridiculous efficiency, 13-22, while LaMarcus Aldridge went 23-10 on 10-16 shooting. So big nights from those guys. Timmy Duncan played 20. It was the first game of a back-to-back, so then maybe that's some maintenance there. Maybe he rests as well moving forward. 12-8 for Duncan, while Kyle Anderson was reduced to 19 minutes, going 7-5 with a couple of blocks. And I think some of that is to do with the signing of Andre Miller, who played 8 minutes. 2 rebounds and 2 assists. is no fantasy value in Miller, but he is going to take some playing time off some of these other bench players. Patty Mills, 7.7 dimes in 18 minutes. He's not someone that I think you want to look at in your 10-team leagues. And Danny Green played 33 minutes. He did not score. That is really disappointing. He did add two steals and two blocks, so helped there. Had three assists as well, but Jesus, that's a bad night from Danny Green. Yeah, scoring-wise, to play 33 minutes, only attempt three shots and miss all of them. I still reckon that you should own him in 12-team leagues, despite the stinky nature of that sort of performance. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Marcelo Huertas. What? 31 minutes for Huertas. 9 points with 8 assists and a steal on 3 of 4 shooting. Lou Williams was out, so Huertas gets the minutes. Jordan Clarkson was limited. Kobe Bryant was limited. So I suppose they had to give guards some playing time, and Huertas did really well. D'Angelo Russell was also good. 24 points, 3 triples, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block on 9 of 21 shooting. He has arrived. If a couple of people or someone on the Basketball Monster player comment section was talking to me about D'Angelo Russell, you know, why is he only projected at 11th round value? You know how much I hate numbers in terms of like rankings. Why is he 11th round? Whatever. The reason why, and I did explain that in the player comments, is that his turnovers are a big issue. So if you're looking at 9 cat versus 8 cat, it's about 40 spots difference with his turnovers. But the other thing is over the last couple of weeks, he's shooting at like a 54% clip from the field. He's turning it over at like 1.7 times per game. All numbers that aren't sustainable. It doesn't mean anything about his ownership. He has to be owned, but he's on a pretty significant hot streak at the moment. He's still going to be great down the stretch. I just don't think he's going to be as awesome as he's been the last couple. Maybe a bit of a drop-off. Jordy Clarkson, the knee issue, it doesn't appear serious, so that's good news. 13 points, 3 triples in 23 minutes, while Julius Randle had 17 and 7 with nothing else. Kobe lasted 11 minutes with dealing with that sore shoulder. 5 points with 2 rebounds and a 3. He'd missed the previous 2 games with that sore shoulder, and it limited him again. He's obviously going to be questionable basically every game, it feels like, moving on for the rest of the season with that shoulder problem. With Kobe struggling, Anthony Brown got 31 minutes. He had 6 and 4 with 2 triples. He really doesn't have much value. He's more of a dynasty guy, and if Kobe leaves, does he fill a role? I'm sure they'd hope that someone better than Anthony Brown becomes the small forward next season. But he does have some talents that can be worked with. The Nuggets, Gary Harris, 40 minutes. Mike Malone really likes this guy. 16 points, 2 triples, 2 assists, and 1 steal. I think you should like him, and he should be owned in most leagues. Nikola Jokic, back to 28 minutes. 14, 6, and 3. 2 blocks and a 3. I'll say it again. 22 minutes is enough for standard leagues. 28 minutes, it's gravy on top of it. I'm not dropping him anywhere. People will. I'm not. Emmanuel Mudiay, 22, 4, and 7 with a block on 10 of 20 shooting. That's probably his best game for the season. 2 turnovers only. The issue with his percentages is still going to be a problem. Don't think this has necessarily solved it, but that's a good sign. Ken Faried, only 18 minutes dealing with the back problem, 10 and 3. Well, Darrell Arthur played 24 and struggled. 5 and 3 with 2 blocks with a steal. Now, so Arthur is more of a 14-team league guy with the Gallinari injury, but he might sneak into 12-teamers. Jakar Sampson played 23 minutes, down from the 30 in the last game. I wonder how long it's going to take Mike Malone to realize that he's terrible. 6 and 4 for Sampson in 23 minutes. Well, Will Barton is another guy who I'm not a massive fan of. He played only 24 minutes, 11, 7, and 3 with 2 triples. He lost a lot of time to DJ Augustine. Interesting to see how they run that situation. Yusuf Nurkic, another scratch, and Jameer Nelson in the DMP city. So obviously he can be dropped if he's owned anywhere. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Clippers is the next game we're going to take a look at. KD, 30, 11, and 5. 3 triples and 5 blocks from Durant. That's a huge number from him. Russell Westbrook, 24, 6, and 12. And Serge Ibaka, 11, and 11. That's the big names out of the way. What else happened on this team? Well, Andre Robertson missed all 4 of his shots and had 7 boards in 22 minutes. His fantasy value was 0. Campaign played 3 minutes. That's not enough. Randy Foy played 26 minutes. It is way too much. But he went 8 and 4. Had 2 assists, 2 triples, and 2 blocks. A nice performance from Foy, but none of that is reliable. He is a guy I'd look at in 14-team, maybe 16-team leagues. Steve Adams, 6 and 9, while Enes Kanter shockingly couldn't reproduce his 11 of 11 shooting. He went 8 and 8 in 15 minutes, and neither him or Adams is a 12-team must-own player. For the Clippers, Chris Paul played 40 minutes, even with Austin Rivers back. 21, 4, and 13, a triple one, continues to be awesome. And DeAndre Jordan, 20 and 18 with a steal and a block, including 2 big free throws down the stretch. And Wes Johnson got 31 minutes, 11 and 4, 5 steals, 1 block, 3 triples. If you held on to Wes Johnson, this is exactly what you wanted. You don't like 4 of 16 shooting, but big defensive numbers. It's hard to hold on to him, though, because when's he had a game like this in the last 2 weeks since the trade deadline? He just hasn't. Jeff Green started, played 17 minutes, and was horrible. 0 of 7 shooting for 0 points. If his ownership was higher, he was going to be the dud of the night. Basically the worst player in the NBA tonight. If there's someone out there that you want to add in a 12-team league, I can understand him being expendable, but I'm not just dropping him just for the sake of dropping him. Jamal Crawford had 12 points in 32 minutes, while Cole Aldrich produced yet again 12 minutes, 8 and 6. He's a name to watch. Paul Pierce had 6 points in his 15 minutes, while JJ Redick chimed in with 16 and 3 assists in his 31. Now that I've shouted out JJ Redick on my podcast, maybe he'll give me a shout out on his. Yeah. All right. We are done with the review from Wednesday. I'm going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back to talk about the games from, or the games on Thursday.
This is the part with just the guitar. While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus that you know, you can't see what I see.
Four games from Thursday from a DFS point of view. The first one is the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 14 points. The total is 211. Now, the Heat have been running a very, very small rotation recently. Only 8 players, basically. So there is a chance here that they expand it and get guys like Gerald Green and Josh McRoberts back into some playing time. It depends on how close Phoenix can keep it, and that's going to be an issue for DFS. Let's start by looking at the point guard position. Ronnie Price is at 3,800. He's been playing pretty decent minutes, averaging 30 minutes across his last three. His production's been terrible, but all you need is one night for him to nab 2-3 steals, and he's going to get 22, 23 points. And that's going to be enough at 3,800 to make a difference. No cash games for Ron Price, but in a tournament, sure, maybe something happens. Goran Dragic at 6,500 could not get a better matchup for him against his former team and against a team that is piss weak in the backcourt. He could have a monster. He's at 6,500. 40 points, I reckon, is definitely within play here for Dragic. Love him in this one. Not much else to talk about point guard-wise. On the shooting guards, Dwayne Wade. Again, might he lose some minutes? Yes, but he might play 31 instead of 33. And at 7,500 against the Suns team, again, which is just horrific in the backcourt, 35 points should feel like pretty comfortable for him. He's averaging 35 across his last five. I think that 40 points, 42 points is a great spot to look at for him. Devin Booker has been just trash lately, 4,700 for him. He's averaging just 17 points, not going to be throwing him. It may be in a tournament, but don't trust him. And Joshy Richardson at 3,700. I'm probably as big a Josh Richardson fan as there is. Great matchup for him. 3,700, can he get to 20 points? Yeah, he could. He's averaging 19.4 across the last three, so his ability to hit some threes, rack up some boards, get some defensive numbers, it works out well. There's no cash game reliability whatsoever, but what if they're up by 30 points? Does he play 35 minutes and get more shots and more usage? An interesting guy to look at. Joe Johnson at 5,600 has been playing superbly. 27 points average across his last five, 28 across his last three, dropped 36 in the last one. Beautiful matchup for him here. 27 points should be a decent target, I think. Archie Goodwin and John Jenkins, the backup shooting guards in Phoenix, they can be left very much alone. at small forward. Luol Deng is at 6,000. Again, there's always risk in these guys, but the matchup is so good. We saw it with the Hornets the other day. Those guys played 29 minutes and were able to put up big numbers. And I think that Deng is going to be in a similar boat here. He'll play some small ball four, or a lot of small ball four. At 6,000, 30 points. That's his average over the last five. I'm fine with him. Justice Winslow, 4,400. Yeah, not so much with him. Look, maybe he gets some extra run. He was down to 27 in the last game and only put up 7 points. He's strictly a tournament-only option, I think. Same as PJ Tucker at 4,700, who's had a 43-point game in his last five. He's also had a 5-point game in his last five. There's a big difference there, clearly. And it's been terrible, aside from that big game. Really just brutally bad. Maybe a tournament. Maybe it works out. Probably doesn't. Power forwards. Mirza Cvetkovic is at 4,700. That is still a pretty low salary. It's not a good matchup against the Heat, but I think that his low salary can actually make up for that difference. He's a 27 average across his last five. If he gets that, then it's easy money. Amari Stoudemire at 3,800. Nice game in the last one, but that was five blocks. How often is that going to happen? John Lua, no. Josh McRoberts hasn't even played the last two games. I think he will play a little bit in this one, maybe a couple of minutes, but I'm not even confident of that. Centers, I think there's great value with the centers here. Alex Len at 5,300. He's played big minutes the last two games. 30 points in the last game. He's had a 47-point game in his last five. 5,300 feels like a no-brainer. And his opponent, Hassan Whiteside, 8,600, also feels like a no-brainer. Just dominating. 46 average across his last five. 46 average across his last three. His lowest score in his last five has been 37. Consistent, big numbers, big minutes. Love him here. Tyson Chandler, no, 4,400. I just don't really see him being able to produce. The San Antonio Spurs and the New Orleans Pelicans, there is no spread for any of the remaining games at this point. Dante Cunningham, that's probably why there's no spread for the Pelicans game, because Cunningham is questionable with a left knee. And Norris Cole, really good production lately, 34 average across his last three, but I'm not loving it against the Spurs. Sorry, Norris, not going to be using you. Jrue Holiday at 7,700, hasn't been living up to that price tag. And he gets the Spurs matchup. That's not ideal. Tony Parker, I think, gets limited slightly. He's at 5,300. He might have some minute reduction. Not keen on him. Patty Mills, no thanks either. At shooting guard, Eric Gordon, you might look at him at 5,300. But the Spurs defense, we saw what happened to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope today. Not all that keen, especially in cash on Eric Gordon. Danny Green, only always a tournament option at this point for this season entirely. Only a tournament option. He was terrible today. Only 12 points. He's averaging just 12.7 across his last three. That is obviously not ideal. Small forwards, Kawhi. Does he get limited? Recently, he hasn't been having his minutes chopped as much. So at 8,000, when you're averaging 43 across the last five, your lowest score's been 38. Fine. Deploy him. And the Pelicans are terrible. Kyle Anderson at 3,600. No, not at the moment. And Alonzo G. Alonzo G is going to get some extra run if Dante Cunningham is out, but it's going to translate into nothing, so don't worry. The power forwards. LaMarcus Aldridge is at 7,300. He is averaging 38 points across his last three. Anthony Davis is at 10,200. He is averaging 40 points. I would save $3,000 and take Aldridge over Davis here. As much as I'm not an Aldridge fan, I am a Davis fan. At $3,000, given the way they're respectively playing, I'm fine with using Aldridge over Davis. The rest of these guys, David West, Boris Diaw, no thanks. Ryan Anderson at 5,800. He's really only a play when Davis happens to miss. At center, do I have to talk about these guys? Kendrick Perkins, Alexei Ajinsa, Boban Marjanovic, Tim Duncan at 5,200. There is pretty much zero chance I'm using any of those guys. Sacramento and Dallas. We've got Rajon Rondo heading back to Dallas again. Not sure if that's going to have too much of an impact. Rudy Gay is questionable with his shoulder after missing the last couple of games. And Ray Felton's dealing with an ankle injury for Dallas. It doesn't seem like that's going to be too much of a problem. Darren Williams at 5,600. Love this matchup for him. 5,600 is not a big salary. Yes, he's struggled a bit recently, but 32 points, I reckon that's a really, really nice spot for him. And that's not his ceiling, but if he got that, it's not crazy. Ray Felton at 46, love what he's been able to do, but 46 is too high. Rajon Rondo at 9,000, no chance. He's going to get hacked as well by Rick Carlisle, no chance to use him. But it means Darren Collison becomes a little bit more appealing. At 5,400, maybe Collison gets some extra run. I would throw Collison into a tournament and hope he goes for 35 or 36. Shooting guards. Wes Matthews at 4,500 has been really consistent lately, averaging 27 across his last three, 26 across his last five. At 4,500 in an easy matchup, love using him here. Devin Harris at 35, no thanks. Marco Bellinelli, Ben McLemore, double no thanks. Small forwards, if Gay happens to play, still not using him at 7,000. Chandler Parsons is interesting at 6,700. The Kings is an awesome matchup for pretty much everyone, including small forwards. 6,700 for Parsons. He's already averaging 36 across his last three games. I can understand using him. I think it's definitely a value play. Omri Caspi not getting it done recently either. Power forwards, Dirk Nowitzki, 6,700. If you're going to use Dirk, I reckon this is a good opportunity to do it. 6,700, 35 points. It's in play for Dirk. And David Lee, no. Willie Cauley-Stein, 4,100. Just not getting the minutes. And Quincy Acey at 3,600. He gets the minutes, but it's not producing really good DFS sort of scores. Centers. Boogie Cousins at 10,900. I do really like him. He's averaging 55 across his last three. 51 across his last five. Dallas, Zaza Pachulia, David Lee, Dirk. Are they going to be able to stop him? The answer is no. I think that 50 points is the minimum here for Cousins. And Pachulia at 5,400. Yeah, don't mind him. He put up 32 in the last game, but there's a definite risk factor associated with him. So I'd look at him more in the tournament. At Costa Kufos, Salah Mejri, JaVale McGee, they're not tickling my fancy. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Golden State Warriors is the last game of the night. A rematch of that classic from Saturday. Are we going to see that sort of fireworks again? I would say all signs point to no, but you never know. Steph Curry missed the last game. He is listed as questionable. He participated in all of practice. He will likely go. So we've got a pair of $11,000 point guards going up against each other. Russ Westbrook and Steph Curry. Which one do you take? I take Curry, assuming he plays. Obviously, you know, he's got a better average over his last three, a better average over his last five, a higher score over his last five, a better matchup. The Westbrook defense is not ideal. Now, Westbrook's still going to put up 50 points, but Curry's got 60-point potential. That's where he looks in, 55, 60-point. He is in a pretty nice spot here. If Curry happens to be out, Sean Livingston at 3,600. If he plays 34 minutes like he did in the game against Atlanta, where he put up 22 points at 3,600, that's fine. And Oklahoma City, again, Russ Westbrook, not an ideal defender for fantasy purposes. Shooting guards, Klay Thompson at 7,300. Yeah, he's not an awesome option, but I think he's a pretty good play. If Steph's out, then his appeal widens. Dion Waiters and Andre Robertson, the two nothing brothers in Oklahoma City, I think we leave them alone. And in Golden State, we're looking at Leandro Barbosa, Brandon Rush, and Ian Clark. There is just a bunch of crap at shooting guard. Small forwards, Harry Barnes, 4,300. He just can't do anything, in my opinion. 23 points for him in the last game, which is, you know, for him, that's actually all right in at 4,300. But it's because Andre Iguodala was out and he played excess minutes. If Iggy is out again at 4,300, I consider Barnes maybe, but really, he just does nothing. Iguodala is 4,100, is not someone I'm interested in. Kevin Durant, though, at 10,600 is. He's averaging 54 across his last five. He's got a min-max across his last five of 45 and 60. 10,600 fits beautifully in that. Definitely fine using him. And you feel like they're going to have to go pretty KD and Russ heavy in this game. At power forward, Draymond's at 8,600. He's averaging over 40 across his last five, 47 across his last three. He is not a cash game option, really. You have to have pretty big balls to use him in cash because he can have some stinkers. But in a tournament, we're talking 60-point upside, 55-point upside. Love him. Serge Ibaka at 5,900, not happening for me. Centers, Andrew Bogut was great in the last game, but the last game he played Oklahoma City, he played 15 minutes. I don't know which Andrew Bogut you get. At 4,800, you could look at him in a tournament, but I have zero confidence in cash. Steve Adams at 4,200, he is a real low-end play. Maybe he works out, most likely he doesn't. Again, in a tournament, I reckon you can put him in there, but in cash, you're going to have to spend up for centers. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day. Point guard, Ronnie Price, 3,800. Darren Williams, 56. And Steph Curry, 11,000. Shooting guards, Wes Matthews, 45. Joe Johnson, 56. And Dwayne Wade, 75. I do not like any of the cheap small forwards. Luol Deng at 6,000. Kevin Durant at 10,600. Power forwards, Mirza Teletovic, 4,700. LaMarcus Aldridge, 73. And Draymond Green, 86. And the centers, Steve Adams, 42. Alex Len, 53, and Hassan Whiteside, 8,600. We are done today, guys. Make sure you are following me on all social media sites, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Twitter and Instagram is redrock_bball, and Facebook is facebook.com/redrockbasketball. So follow along on those sites. Like, follow, retweet, share, all that sort of great stuff. Subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and on iTunes, and leave a review if you have those spare 5 minutes. It would be very much appreciated. Of course, Basketball Monster has all of your tools coming into your playoffs, in your DFS, seasonal, all that sort of stuff. Dynasty content, there's a lot of stuff happening at Basketball Monster, so check it all out there. And Hardwood Paroxysm, the stable of great podcasts we've got over there, and superb game previews and review articles, and anything else that tickles your NBA fancy is available over there. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.